This is Bad Astrologer, your monthly reminder that the universe has a sense of humour and you're usually the punchline. June 2026. 12 signs. I've done the charts and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Let's go. Aries. Saturn in Aries has been sitting in your first house since early this year, doing what Saturn does, which is making everything feel like homework. You've handled this with your customary grace, meaning you've complained loudly, bulldozed through the bits that required patience, and declared yourself transformed roughly once a fortnight. June is when the bill arrives. The month opens with the Sun and Mercury still in Gemini, lighting up your third house, communication, short journeys, the internet, and everything that goes wrong when you combine all three. Mars, your ruling planet and your worst habit, is crawling through Taurus and heading into Gemini by mid-month, which means your already limited capacity for restraint is being channeled through a sign that talks. You are going to say things online this month that future you will handle by simply pretending it didn't happen. There will be a reply you fire off at 11 p.m. that reads, in the cold light of the next morning, like a manifesto written by someone who's eaten too much sugar. You'll leave it up. You'll say you stand by it. You won't. The new moon on 15th of June falls in Gemini in your third house, which is a genuinely useful reset for how you express yourself. But a new moon in Gemini with Mars freshly arrived in the same sign is less quiet new beginning, and more starting four arguments simultaneously and calling it multitasking. This is when you'll post the passive-aggressive story. You know the one, the screenshot with the name cropped out that doesn't crop out the name quite enough, the quote that is definitely not about anyone specific. You'll caption it, just something I needed to hear. And every single person who sees it will know exactly who it's about, including the person it's about. In love, your particular speciality this month isn't aggression, it's withdrawal without explanation. You'll be fine, then you'll be somewhere else entirely, and your partner or situationship or whoever is currently making the mistake of being emotionally available to you will spend 2 days trying to work out what they did. What they did was nothing. You just needed to feel like you could leave. And sometimes you check by going quiet and seeing who follows you into the silence. Venus moving from Cancer into Leo mid-month shifts some warmth back into your social world, but not before you've successfully convinced at least one person that you're furious at them. Work-wise, Jupiter in Cancer is sitting in your fourth house this month, which should be expanding your sense of domestic security, except you've decided the most urgent priority is a public disagreement with someone you don't have to interact with. There is actual money and actual opportunity here if you look at it. Someone in your immediate circle or working environment has something to offer, but you're a bit busy crafting a response to something that happened on Tuesday. The full moon on 30th of June in Capricorn falls in your 10th house, which is career, public reputation, and how you're perceived by people who haven't yet decided whether to like you. After a month of the above, you'll be tidying your image in a hurry. Good luck with that. Here's what I've been sitting on. You are not actually fearless. You're fast, which isn't the same thing, and you've convinced yourself it is. Your speed is a way of outrunning the bit where you might be wrong. And this month, with Saturn in your first house refusing to be outrun, it's going to catch you. You have more self-awareness than you let on. You just find it inconvenient. Right, next up, Taurus. Mars is still in Taurus at the start of June, which should be an advantage. An energizing push, extra drive, the planetary equivalent of a double espresso. And yet, I've watched enough Taurians navigate Mars transits to know exactly what happens. They feel the energy, they acknowledge it, and then they make a very comfortable plan to use it later. Later becomes the weekend. The weekend becomes next month. Next month is, poetically, Mars in Gemini, which is my problem now, not yours. That shift happens mid-month, and when it does, the drive you had moves into the sign next door, leaving you with a faint restlessness and no particular appetite to do anything about it. Mars in Gemini is scattered and fast. You are neither. You'll feel slightly unmoored and probably blame the weather. The new moon falls on around 15th June in Gemini, activating your second house. Money, values, the whole question of what you actually think you're worth. Gemini is already busy this month, with the Sun and Mercury both passing through before moving into Cancer. That's a lot of energy in the part of your chart that governs income. And given your ruling planet Venus is moving from Cancer into Leo this month, there's a real tension here between what you genuinely need and what you've decided you deserve. These are not always the same number, Taurus. They are not always even in the same postcode. The full moon on 30th of June in Capricorn lands in your ninth house. Big visions, long-term goals, the architecture of the life you keep meaning to build. Capricorn is a sign that respects actual evidence of effort, and the ninth house isn't interested in your good intentions. Under this full moon, something crystallizes, and what crystallizes is the uncomfortable gap between the ambitions you hold privately and the work you've been willing to publicly commit to. The universe is not being unkind. It's just doing the maths. In love, the issue this month is subtler than stubbornness, which is the Taurus complaint everyone's heard. What you're actually doing is conducting a very quiet audit of the people around you, measuring their devotion against an internal benchmark you've never explained to anyone, including yourself. Venus moving into Leo only inflates this. You want to be prioritized, adored, consistently chosen. What you're doing to make that easier for someone else to do is a separate question, one you'd rather not sit with. At work, Jupiter in Cancer is quietly excellent for you this month. It's in your third house, which covers communication, pitching, making your case. Opportunity is genuinely available. The obstacle is that Taurus has a deep, almost theological resistance to asking for things directly, because asking implies you might not get them, and that risk is intolerable. So you wait for recognition to arrive on its own, and then feel aggrieved when it wanders off to someone who put their hand up. Here's what nobody close to you will say, but everyone has noticed. The gap between your self-belief in private and your self-promotion in public is so wide you could graze cattle in it. You know exactly what you're worth. You simply refuse to act like it anywhere it might count. The backhanded affirmation you've been waiting for, because you do deserve one. You are, against considerable odds and mostly through sheer bloody-mindedness, still here, still solid, still infuriatingly, usually right. Now do something with it before Mars changes sign and takes the momentum with it. Moving on, and it doesn't get better. Gemini. The theme of June is this. You have a lot to say, and absolutely everyone is going to hear it whether they asked or not. Uranus has just moved into Gemini, your first house, your literal self. And it's been sitting there at 2 degrees since earlier this year, doing quiet structural work on your identity. June is when that goes public. Uranus in your first house is the planetary equivalent of someone who's been doing a new me vision board for 3 months and has finally decided to announce the rebrand. The problem is that Uranus rules sudden revelations, and your first house rules how you present yourself to the world, and the combination in Gemini produces something specific and recognisable. An overwhelming need to be understood, paired with a complete inability to say things once. The new moon on 15th of June falls in Gemini. Conjunct your first house. Conjunct Mercury, your ruler, still in Gemini before it slips into Cancer later in the month. A new moon in your own sign is an invitation to begin something. To plant an intention about who you're becoming. What you'll actually do is post something at 11:47 p.m. that makes total sense in your head and reads, to everyone else, as a slightly threatening riddle. You won't be able to explain it. You will be furious that nobody gets it. This is the new moon energy. It's yours, it's powerful, and you'll aim it directly at your own foot. In love, the interesting thing happening isn't what you'd expect. Venus starts the month in Cancer, your second house, the zone of what you value and what you quietly fear losing, before moving into Leo. That shift, around mid-month, takes Venus from anxious and inward to warm and performative. What this produces in you romantically is the specific behaviour of someone who's been silently keeping score for weeks, and then, quite suddenly, decides to make their feelings known via the subtext of an Instagram story at 2 a.m. You won't say the thing. You'll post a lyric. You will check who watched it with the focused intensity of a forensic analyst, and then you will do nothing useful with this information. Mars moves into Gemini in the second half of the month, joining Uranus in your first house, and this is where the engine gets loud. Mars here makes you fast, decisive, and wrong in very specific ways. At work, you'll pitch the idea before you've thought it through. You genuinely cannot help this. The mouth moves faster than the planning. And it will be one of those ideas that sounds either brilliant or completely unhinged, depending on the day. The full moon on 30 June falls in Capricorn, your 8th house, illuminating other people's money, shared resources, and debts. Something needs to be settled. Someone needs to be paid back or acknowledged or finally given the conversation you've been composing in your head. The moon will make sure the reckoning arrives, whether you're ready or not. The bit you won't want to hear is this. You rewrote the message 6 times and then sent the first draft anyway. You are genuinely one of the more interesting people in the room, and June gives you real momentum to prove it, just not in the ways you're planning. The impulses are good, the execution is chaos, the intention underneath all of it is usually right. That counts for something, even when you can't resist pressing send. Next victim, Cancer. June is the month you've been quietly catastrophizing about since March, and I want you to know that I know that. You didn't tell anyone. You just carried it around in your chest like a stone in a pocket, adding to the pile each time something almost went wrong, and now the pile is so large you've started introducing yourself to it. Jupiter has been sitting in your sign for a while now, and at 24 degrees it's doing that thing where it magnifies everything, not just your good fortune, but your reactions to your good fortune, which in your case means receiving a compliment and immediately dissecting it for hidden cruelty. Someone says you look well, and you spend 4 days wondering if they meant you looked unwell before. Jupiter in Cancer should be abundance, warmth, the universe patting you on the head. Instead, you're using it to feel things at a volume that would constitute a noise complaint. The Sun and Mercury both shift from Gemini into Cancer this month, which means the spotlight moves to you just as your internal monologue gets louder. You'll feel suddenly, urgently visible, and you will not enjoy it. The instinct will be to retreat. Don't. The new moon on 15th of June falls in Gemini in your 12th house, which is the house of secrets, self-undoing, and the things you do at 2 a.m. that you'd rather not explain. This new moon is asking you to let something go. You will instead write it a very long letter and then not send it. In love, the pattern this month isn't neediness. You've been accused of that often enough, and you've worked on it, fair enough. The pattern is the exit strategy. You have one prepared for every relationship in your life, labelled and filed, and occasionally you take it out and update it just to feel in control. Venus starts the month in your sign before moving into Leo, and that transit will feel like warmth leaving the room. Someone you're seeing will start wanting attention in a way that requires performance, and you'll find this exhausting, and you won't say so, and you'll update the file. Saturn in Aries is sitting in your 10th house, career, reputation, public-facing life, and it is not being friendly. There's a professional obligation you've been procrastinating on, not from laziness, but because completing it means committing to a version of yourself you're not sure you believe in yet. Saturn does not care about your epistemological uncertainty. Saturn has a deadline. Mars moves from Taurus into Gemini mid-month, activating your 12th house even further. This is the part you won't want to hear. You have been subtly, quietly, almost undetectably controlling in a group situation, a friendship, a project, a shared space, in a way that everyone else has noticed and no one has said anything about. You've been steering things through what you don't say, the silence that arrives just before someone else's idea. The way you suddenly need something the moment a plan doesn't suit you. They've clocked it. The full moon on 30th June falls in Capricorn, in your 7th house of partnerships, and it is going to illuminate exactly this, the backhanded affirmation, because I always end on one. You feel things more completely than almost anyone I know, and if you could stop treating that as a burden long enough to let it be a gift, you'd be extraordinary. You're most of the way there. The stone in your pocket can stay on the pavement. Onwards, I use the word loosely. Leo. June is the month Leo decides they're finally going to do the thing. You know the thing. The project, the pivot, the grand creative gesture that's been simmering in the back of your mind for somewhere between 4 months and 3 years. You're going to announce it, probably. The announcement is going to be magnificent. The work itself is, as ever, pending. Venus moves into Leo mid-month, which is genuinely good news, but I've watched enough Leos in my time to know what Venus entering your sign actually translates to in practice. An uptick in personal grooming expenditure, and a sudden conviction that you are irresistible. You're not wrong, exactly. But there's a specific flavour of Leo behaviour that emerges when Venus turns up and starts flattering you. You become slightly harder to reach. Not cruel, just elevated. Occupying a higher atmospheric layer than everyone else, waving benevolently down from altitude. The new moon on 15th June falls in Gemini. My sign, which I mention only because I want you to trust me when I tell you this one has teeth. It activates Leo's 11th house. Networks, ambitions, the people who could actually open doors for you. This is cosmically perfect timing and almost certainly wasted, because the 11th house asks you to show up for your community, and you're currently in the phase where you expect your community to show up for you. There's a difference. Your network has noticed. Jupiter is sitting large and self-satisfied in Cancer, pressing on Leo's 12th house, the house of retreat, of things done quietly, of effort nobody gets to watch. Jupiter there is asking you to do something in private, to build without applause. For a Leo, this is basically being asked to clap with one hand. I don't say this to be unkind. I say it because the full moon on 30th June in Capricorn lights up your 6th house of work and daily effort, and what it will reveal is the gap between what you've been telling people you're doing and what you've actually been doing. Capricorn energy doesn't lie, flatter, or soften things for you. It just turns the lights on. Saturn in Aries is making a reasonably harmonious aspect to Leo from the 9th house, which means there's genuine structural support available for anything involving learning, publishing, expansion of scope. The catch is that Saturn always requires you to have actually done the work. It's a rewarder, not a rescuer. Mars moving from Taurus into Gemini this month is unstable energy in Leo's 11th, giving you bursts of social momentum followed by complete flatness. Try not to make promises on the upswing that you'll have to quietly bin on the down. The bit you won't want to hear is this. There's a specific way Leos outsource the effort of being loved, not consciously. You simply assume, at a very deep level, that your presence is enough, that showing up, being warm, being you, constitutes the whole transaction. And for a while it works, because you're genuinely magnetic. But eventually the people who love you most start feeling like an audience rather than a cast, and they don't always know how to tell you that the show hasn't required them in a while. Venus in Leo from mid-month will make you feel like the answer to someone's prayers. You might in fact be exactly that, if you can remember to ask what they've been praying for. All right, who's next on the list? Virgo. June is the month Virgo discovers that someone, probably a former colleague, possibly a university acquaintance they haven't thought about in 3 years, is doing slightly better than them, and decides to treat this as a personal emergency. Not dramatically. Virgo doesn't do dramatic, they just go very quiet about it and start optimising. Mercury, Virgo's ruling planet, spends the first half of the month in Gemini before shifting into Cancer. And this movement through your solar 10th and 11th houses means your mind has been running productivity calculations since roughly May. Now those calculations have a target. You're not jealous, you've decided. You're motivated. This is an important distinction that fools nobody, least of all the people who have to sit near you while you update your LinkedIn at 11 p.m. Mars is making the same journey, rolling from Taurus into Gemini mid-month and lighting up that same stretch of sky around your social and career houses. The practical upshot is a burst of energy that looks, from the outside, like ambition, but is actually spite wearing ambition's hat. Useful, productive spite. I'll give you that. Virgo spite builds things. It just also makes you insufferable at dinner parties, because you've started mentioning your project slightly too often. The new moon on 15th June falls in Gemini, activating your 10th house of career and public reputation. This is genuinely a good moment to start something. Put your name forward, make your move, do that. What I'd ask you not to do is make the whole thing about proving something to someone who probably hasn't thought about you since your last team away day. The universe has set the table nicely. Try to eat the food instead of using it as a prop in your imaginary TED talk. In love, the pattern this month is more subtle and, frankly, more exhausting for everyone involved. Venus moves from Cancer into Leo around mid-June, shifting your seventh house into territory that wants warmth, performance, and visible affection, none of which Virgo finds especially easy to provide. What you'll do instead is demonstrate love through improving your partner. You'll notice the way they phrase emails and gently suggest alternatives. You'll reorganise a shelf. You'll send them an article. This is not the love language they asked for, and the gap between what you intend and what lands is currently wider than you think. The full moon on 30th June sits in Capricorn, your fifth house of creativity, pleasure, and the self you are when nobody's evaluating you, which for Virgo is a theoretical self, a creature of legend. Saturn in Aries is squaring that moon and making relaxation feel like something you'd have to schedule, budget for, and then review afterwards for inefficiencies. That's not rest. That's rest's administrative burden. Now, the thing you won't want to hear. You have spent genuine mental energy this month, focused, sustained, detailed energy, tracking someone else's progress. You know their job title, you've seen their project outcomes, you've done the maths on their probable salary. And not once have you asked yourself whether you actually want what they have, or whether you just can't stand that they have it and you don't. Those are different questions with very different answers. And at some point, you're going to have to sit with the second one. You are, despite all of this, someone whose standards drag the whole room upward whether the room likes it or not. June just needs you pointed in the right direction. Brace yourself. Libra. June is the month Libra decides they've been too available and then does the worst possible version of becoming unavailable. Not disappearing gracefully. No, that would require conviction. Instead, the slow fade. The 3-day reply gap where you used to reply in 3 minutes. The OMG been so busy, sent at 11 p.m. to someone who can see you've been active on Instagram all evening. You're not becoming mysterious, you're becoming annoying. Saturn in Aries is grinding against your sign from the 7th house of partnerships, which means every significant relationship in your life is currently under structural review. And the problem is, you're reviewing them without telling anyone else there's a review happening. Your people don't know they're being quietly scored, they just know you've gone weird. Saturn doesn't do this cruelly, it does it bureaucratically, which in some ways is worse. Nobody likes finding out they've been filed under pending reassessment. The new moon in Gemini on the 15th lands in your 9th house, which on paper is about philosophy, travel, and expanding horizons. In practice, for Libra in June 2026, it means you'll have a moderately interesting conversation at a party and decide it's changed your entire worldview. You'll send 3 long voice notes about it. You will not follow up on any of the ideas you have this week. Uranus has just moved into Gemini, and that 9th house is cracking open slightly. New ideas are genuinely arriving, and some of them are genuinely good. But Uranus in Gemini favours the person who picks one thread and pulls it, not the person who admires all the threads and suggests someone else pull them. Venus, your ruler, moves from Cancer into Leo mid-month, and your fifth house catches fire in the most flattering possible way. You'll look good. You'll feel magnetic. Someone will say something that makes you go home and stare at your own reflection for slightly longer than is strictly necessary. In romantic terms, there's real possibility here, possibly with someone you already know, possibly through your expanding social circuit. The catch, and there's always a catch when Venus enters Leo, is that you'll want to be chosen without doing the choosing, appreciated without initiating, adored without committing. That particular wish is technically achievable, but only in very specific types of relationship, none of which are good for you. At work, Mars moving from Taurus into Gemini activates your ninth house of communication and ideas alongside that new moon. You will have a genuinely useful insight during a meeting that you'll deliver apologetically as a question, with a face that says, "I'm probably wrong, but you are not wrong. Stop doing that. The people taking credit for things in your orbit don't have half your grasp of the situation, and they're not softening their sentences at all." The full moon in Capricorn on the 30th falls in your fourth house, home, family, private life, and it will illuminate something you've been managing rather than addressing. There's a relationship, probably domestic or long-standing, where you've been so relentlessly pleasant about a real grievance that the other person doesn't even know a grievance exists. They find out now, maybe gently, maybe not. Here's what I'll give you. You hold people together better than almost any sign, and this month, quietly, you'll do it again. Probably without recognition, probably while also being a bit maddening about everything else. That's not nothing, it's not everything, but it's not nothing. This one's going to sting. Scorpio. June opens with Venus already in Cancer and moving toward Leo by mid-month, which means your emotional spending is about to get a formal upgrade. You'll stop buying things that comfort you and start buying things that announce you. A candle that costs £47. Skincare you researched at midnight with the focused intensity most people reserve for criminal investigations. A piece of clothing you describe as an investment, because you said the word investment during checkout, and that makes it true. Jupiter is sitting fat and satisfied in Cancer at 24 degrees, activating your ninth house, the house of beliefs, philosophy, and the stories you tell yourself about why you deserve things. Combined with Venus making her exit from Cancer into Leo this month, there's a period in the first 2 weeks where you'll be genuinely convinced that buying the good olive oil is a form of self-respect. You're not wrong, exactly. You're also not stopping at olive oil. The new moon on the 15th falls in Gemini, your eighth house, the house of other people's money, shared resources, and the financial conversations you've been avoiding since February. This is the universe pointing at your joint account, or your savings, or the subscription you share with someone you barely speak to anymore, and asking you directly, what's actually going on here? You won't answer directly. You'll do something instead. Rearrange the problem into a shape that looks like a solution from a certain angle, feel briefly satisfied, and move on. Mars is leaving Taurus and entering Gemini this month, which is particularly brilliant timing for someone of your constitution, because it shifts energy from your seventh house, where it's been stirring up the quiet resentments you carry like a packed lunch, into your eighth. Mars in the eighth house, for a Scorpio, is the astrological equivalent of handing a very intense, very controlled person a megaphone and saying, "This seems fine." You'll feel a pull toward intensity and close relationships, and your way of expressing this will be to say nothing, but mean it very loudly. Saturn in Aries is grinding through your sixth house, and the full moon on the 30th in Capricorn activates your third. Taken together, something about your daily routine, your health habits, or the way you actually spend your time is going to require a reckoning before the month closes. The Capricorn. Full moon is not interested in your reasons, It's just going to illuminate the gap between the life you've architected in your head and the one you're actually living. This is fine. You thrive on reckonings. You just prefer to be the one who initiates them. Here's the observation you'll pretend doesn't apply to you. You buy things when you feel like you've lost control of a situation, and you buy them with the specific logic of someone who has completely failed to notice they're doing this. A big purchase lands in your life within 48 hours of a difficult conversation every time, and you have never once connected these two events. You are, underneath all of this, genuinely one of the most capable signs in the zodiac at transforming a mess into something useful. You just do it on your own timeline, using your own methods, without telling anyone, which is both impressive and deeply exhausting to be around. June will give you a lot of raw material. What you do with it is entirely, maddeningly, characteristically yours. Oh, this should be fun. Sagittarius. June is going to feel like someone has set up a racetrack directly in your head, and you are simultaneously the jockey, the horse, and the very irritating person in the stands keeping score. The new moon in Gemini on the 15th falls in your seventh house, the house of partnerships, which means your inner monologue about other people is going to get louder and faster and considerably less charitable. Gemini energy activates the part of Sagittarius that nobody talks about because everyone's too busy writing about your wanderlust and your optimism and your adorable inability to commit to a restaurant booking. But there's another layer, and June is going to find it with both hands. You are, when sufficiently provoked, one of the most quietly competitive signs in the zodiac. You just have the audacity to dress it up as philosophy. Uranus has recently moved into Gemini, joining the Sun and Mercury there for most of the month. All of this in your seventh house, all of it concerning what other people have that you want. Not in a Scorpio way, not with dark obsession, in a Sagittarius way, which means you'll convince yourself the feeling is actually intellectual curiosity or righteous ambition or just a general enthusiasm for self-improvement. You are not fooling anyone who has spent more than 40 minutes with you. You are comparing yourself to someone specific, a colleague, an ex, possibly someone you follow online who you've never actually met. And this month that comparison is quietly ruining your ability to enjoy things you'd normally enjoy. In love, Venus moves from Cancer into Leo mid-month, lighting up your ninth house, which is your house, the one that governs big ideas and long distances and the stories you tell about yourself. This is, on paper, wonderful. In practice, it means you'll spend the second half of June trying to seduce someone with your worldview rather than your actual self. You'll start a sentence that was supposed to be flirtatious and somehow end it with a book recommendation. The person you're with, or want to be with, would like you to be present and warm. You will offer them a TED talk instead. Work is complicated by Saturn in Aries activating your fifth house, the house of creative risk, ego projects, and things you started in a burst of enthusiasm and haven't finished. There's money tangled up in something half-built, and Jupiter in Cancer in your eighth house is asking you, not gently, to account for it. The full moon in Capricorn on the 30th falls in your second house and will make the financial picture very clear, whether you want clarity or not. The thing you've been telling yourself is, in progress, we'll need either proper investment or an honest funeral. Pick one before the moon decides for you. The bit you won't want to hear. You've been narrating your own life as a comeback story, and you're annoyed that nobody else seems to know they're watching it. The competitiveness this month isn't really about the person you're measuring yourself against. It's about a version of yourself you thought you'd be by now. That's not a problem with your progress. That's a problem with the story you wrote, and the fact that you wrote it at 23 and never revised it. You're a great deal further along than you're giving yourself credit for. You'd know that if you'd stop craning your neck to look at someone else's map. Now then, Capricorn. June wants something from you, Capricorn, and that something is feelings. I know. I'm sorry. With the Sun moving out of Gemini and into Cancer around the solstice, and Mercury making the same shift, there's a gravitational pull this month towards the domestic, the emotional, the tender, and inconvenient. For most signs, this is simply a mood. For you, it's an ambush. Cancer activates your seventh house, the house of partnership, of other people, of the whole exhausting business of relating to someone who isn't you. The universe is essentially ringing your doorbell and refusing to leave. You can pretend to be out. You cannot actually be out. The astrology knows where you live. Jupiter is sitting at 24 degrees of Cancer right now, fat and pleased with itself in that seventh house, amplifying every relationship dynamic you'd rather manage than feel. And here's what Jupiter in Cancer does to a Capricorn who isn't paying attention. It makes you generous in completely the wrong direction. You'll spend money on the relationship, the restaurant, the weekend away, the small expensive thing you bought, because expressing an emotion verbally was temporarily unavailable. But you will not spend time on it. You'll fund the connection and withhold the actual connection. This is a very Capricorn form of intimacy. It's also why your partner looks at you sometimes the way people look at a vending machine that ate their money. On the subject of money, since we're here, Venus starts the month in Cancer and moves into Leo mid-June, which is the astrological equivalent of your debit card growing ambitions. You're going to buy something this month on the logic that it's an investment. You'll use that word, investment. And I want you to think about whether a linen throw or a standing desk attachment or whatever it is genuinely belongs in the same sentence as your pension. There is also, and I say this with love, a subscription you have not cancelled. You know which one. You scrolled past the charge last month and decided not to deal with it. It is now just a fact of your finances, like tax, but less useful. The new moon on the 15th falls in Gemini, in your sixth house. Work, routine, the daily grind you secretly love more than you'll admit. This is a genuinely good moment to start something practical. New system, new habit, new approach to the project that's been sitting in a holding pattern, because the conditions weren't quite right. They're right enough now. Capricorn's particular brand of perfectionism is that it dresses up as preparation. You're not preparing, you're stalling. The moon disagrees with you about the timing, and the moon this month outranks you. Saturn is in Aries, in your fourth house, which means home, family, the foundations, and it is square to your sun. This will show up as a low-grade tension, a sense that the private infrastructure of your life needs work you don't want to do. You'll renovate the kitchen before you'll have the conversation. I respect this. I also refuse to endorse it. The full moon on the 30th is in Capricorn, in your first house, on top of you. Whatever you've been performing to the outside world this month will be illuminated, which is to say exposed. You've been very composed, very on top of it. June is going to ask if that's true. You're not incapable of softness. You're just charging it to the wrong account. Deep breath. Aquarius. June is the month Aquarius decides to optimize their life, not actually improve it. Optimize it. There's a difference, and the difference is a spreadsheet. Pluto has been grinding through Aquarius for a while now, doing its slow demolition work on your sense of self, and this month it gets company. The Sun spends the first 3 weeks in Gemini lighting up your fifth house, creativity, pleasure, the parts of life that are supposed to be fun, before shifting into Cancer and your sixth house around the solstice. Your sixth house is the one about daily routines, health, and the small repetitive acts that make up ordinary life. The Sun moving in there is the universe's way of pointing at your kitchen and raising an eyebrow. Jupiter is sitting in Cancer at nearly 25 degrees, which means it's been slowly inflating your sixth house all year like a very optimistic balloon animal. More routine, more system, more of the daily grind elevated to something almost meaningful. In theory, this is excellent for you. In practice, you've responded by researching 17 different productivity apps, downloading 4, using one for 8 days, and then declaring the whole exercise flawed in principle. The new moon on 15th of June lands in Gemini in your 5th house, which is genuinely good news. New moons are seeds. This one is asking what you actually enjoy, not what you're interested in intellectually, not what you've bookmarked to read later, but what makes you laugh in real time. Your friends would like to know the answer to this question too, because watching you explain why fun is structurally undervalued is not technically fun. Saturn in Aries is squaring most of this activity from your 3rd house, which governs communication and the local environment. Saturn squares are the transit equivalent of someone following you around, pointing out your own contradictions in a flat, disappointed voice. You are going to say something in June that you absolutely believe to be logical and objective, and it is going to go down like a concrete floaty. The person on the receiving end will feel like they've been peer-reviewed. Venus moves from Cancer into Leo mid-month, sliding from your 6th house into your 7th, from routine into relationships. This is asking you to stop treating the people you love like a systems problem. Not every difficult conversation is a communication error on the other person's part. Sometimes someone is upset and they don't need you to identify the root cause. They need you to sit with them in the upset. I know. Here's the domestic forecast, and I mean this literally. There is a pile of things in your home that you have walked past for somewhere between 3 weeks and 4 months and mentally categorised as dealt with. It is not dealt with, it is a pile. The sun moving into your 6th house will, if you let it, make you actually address this. More likely, you'll reorganise it into a more aesthetically coherent pile and consider the matter closed. The thing about Aquarius is that you're genuinely ahead of your time in most things, and you're aware of it. And the awareness has started to function as a substitute for doing the washing up. The planets this June are not against you, they're just asking whether all that insight you've accumulated is going to stay theoretical, or whether any of it is going to make contact with your actual life. Your actual life is the one with the pile in it. Start there. And now, for reasons I'm sure they'll regret reading. Pisces. June arrives with the sun still in Gemini, and every planet in the sky seems determined to drag you out of the beautiful fog you've been living in since approximately 2019. You won't like it. You'll cope, but not gracefully, and not without making someone else feel responsible for your discomfort first. The overarching theme this month is something I'd call the family tax. That invisible levy your relatives have been charging you for decades, the one you keep agreeing to pay whilst telling yourself and everyone else that you don't mind, genuinely, you don't mind at all. Jupiter sitting fat and pleased with itself in Cancer is lighting up your 5th house. Yes, but more pressingly, it's making family connections feel enormous and fated and significant. Which they are, of course. They're also, in your specific case, a mechanism by which you will completely abandon your own needs for 3 weeks and then feel quietly martyred about it. Someone is going to ask something of you in the first half of June. It will be framed as a small thing. It won't be a small thing. You'll say yes while your jaw tightens imperceptibly, and then you'll spend the next fortnight performing cheerfulness so convincing that even you'll half believe it. Right up until the moment you're alone in the car and a perfectly ordinary song comes on and you just sit there in a car park for 11 minutes. Mars moving from Taurus into Gemini mid-month sharpens your tongue in ways you're not used to managing. Pisces tends to swallow things whole and let them dissolve, but this transit activates your 4th house of home, roots, and all the old furniture of your emotional life. The thing you swallow in week 1 may come back up at an inconvenient moment around the 15th, when the new moon in Gemini lands squarely in that same domestic territory. New moons are beginnings, technically. This one might feel more like a reckoning. Someone in your family, and you already know which one, will say something they've been not saying for months, and you will respond with either devastating precision or complete withdrawal. There's no middle ground with this transit. I'd suggest precision, but I know which you'll choose. Work and money are actually fine, which will annoy you because it gives you fewer things to worry about, and you do like to have something on the go. Venus moving into Leo by the 19th is activating your sixth house of daily work and routine, making you more visible professionally than usual. Accept the visibility. People are noticing the quality of what you do right now, and undermining yourself in meetings is a habit, not a virtue. The full moon in Capricorn on the 30th closes the month in your 11th house, friendships, communities, the people who aren't family but have become something like it. This is where the emotional bill for June gets presented. You've spent the month tending to blood ties. The friends who've been waiting patiently are still there, but patience isn't infinite, even theirs. Show up. Here's what you won't want to hear. You didn't say yes to your family because you're selfless. You said yes because disappointing people feels, to you, physically similar to danger. That's not generosity. That's old wiring. Saturn in Aries is squaring your sign all year, and it's asking you, quite rudely, as Saturn tends to, whether you'd like to update the wiring or just keep rewiring the same circuit until it blows. You're genuinely one of the most emotionally intelligent people in any room you walk into. It's almost a shame you spend so much of that intelligence managing everyone else's feelings instead of your own. And that's all 12 signs sorted for June 2026. If you feel personally attacked, good. That means I got your chart right. I'll be back next month with fresh material, assuming the planets don't do anything too dramatic in the meantime. Which, knowing this year, they absolutely will. Find me at badastrologer.com for daily readings, the incompatibility test, and personalised natal chart readings that get even more specific about your failings. Until next time, don't blame me, blame the stars.